You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Can you give him a hand clap of praise? He is worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, lift your hands and take your time. We're here to worship him. We're not in a hurry. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, God, for changing us and turning us around. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, if you're not a worshiper, you need to seek the Lord and say, help me. Help me to be a worshiper. Help me to lift my hands. Help me to clap my hands. Hey, as the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. We are more than conquerors. And listen, that's free. That's not even in my little message today. You can be seated if you'd like. I'm going to read some to you. Jared, you probably don't even have to. I'm going to tell you, you can make it. You can make it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when Jesus lives in your heart, he's going to see to it that you can make it. Now, there's times, hard times come, Lisa. But I can promise you, after 40 years of serving the Lord, ups, downs, all arounds, he's faithful. But I will tell you this, and this is just added to it. You're going to stand before the Lord one day all by yourself. Not your wife, not your husband, not your kids. It's just going to be you and him. So if you don't know him, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Give your heart to the Lord, because today is the day of salvation. And I want to tell Mark how blessed I was about his testimony, because that's what it's all about, church. It's about change. It's about a turnaround. We're not perfect. We're just people trying to make heaven our home. Even these preachers and singers, they're just trying to make heaven their home. And sometimes the walk is hard. But if we persevere, I can tell you, one of these days, our faith is going to become sight, Mark. And we're going to look him right in the eye. And we're going to bow down and we're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because all I've done is because of you. If we persevere. I'm going to talk about this morning, if I can get myself together here. I'm going to read you a whole bunch of scriptures in the beginning. You know, let me testify about this. I just feel led. When I came to know the Lord, and some of you have already heard this, when I came to know the Lord, I was a drinker too, Mark. And this was back when churches had revival that lasted a month or 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. They kept having revival as long as people were saved. Now listen, I know, I feel like that I'm screaming into their soul. Can you turn me down just a little bit? To make a long story short, my mother lived in Southern Ohio and I lived in Columbus. She kept saying, come down. I want you to come down here. There's this guy holding revival. And said, man, is he powerful. There's people getting saved. I kept saying, I'll be there next week. I'll be there next week. I'll be there next week. Next week never came. Finally, she called and she said, just come down for the weekend. You don't even have to go. But I knew if I went down there, I was going to have to go. So sure enough, we went to church that night. I was in the back, about midways. Wouldn't you know, there's people on both sides of me. This woman got up to sing. The place went wild, Kim. I mean, people, Sister Pluma Bentley was going crazy. She was on a walker, and she slung that walker to the side, and she's dancing. That's how people used to act. You know, it wasn't like this. I mean, they worship God openly. But I thought to myself, come on. Do these people really expect me to believe that the great God that created the sun and the moon and the trees would come down here and cause these people to act like a bunch of ignorant hillbillies. I'm just being honest with you. I thought, I'm an educated person. How could I believe that? About that time, that woman got to the end of that song, Kathy Bentley. She got to the end of that song and she was getting ready to leave the platform. And I can't hardly tell this story without crying because it's such a real thing to me. That woman starts speaking in tongues. Now, I know we don't believe in that today. That woman starts speaking in tongues, and Don Sheets' dad gave the interpretation. He said, you have said in your heart, how can I believe that the great God that created the sun and the moon and the trees would come down here and cause these people to act so foolishly? He said, these are my people, and I am their God. He said, you have said in your heart, I'm an educated person, and you are. But you've spent so much time in the world, you've forgotten about me. I've dealt with you, and I've dealt with you, and you will not come. But there will come a time that you call on me, and I will laugh at your calamity. Now, I would like to say that I jumped out and ran right to the altar. But I didn't want no part of that stuff. I'm just being honest with you. When I got out in the aisle thinking that I'm going out the door, it literally felt like something was sucking me up front, Angie. I thought I was walking backwards, but I wasn't. And the next thing I knew, I found myself at the altar, throwed down, Greg, crying, 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 and I've never been the same. I will witness to the Muslim. I will witness to the atheist. People probably dread to see me coming because they know I'm going to talk about Jesus. There's been people that say, I'm not going back to her house. The only thing she wants to talk about is Jesus. I'm telling you, that's all there is to talk about. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will hang in there with you no matter how bad, how hard times get. And listen, if you haven't had hard times, you're going to. So you better get ready. And you think things are bad now, they're only going to get worse. It's over, church. It's over. We better be seeking the Lord like we never have before because it's over. Things are getting worse. We can turn on the TV and tell, but we serve a God that will help us persevere and push on no matter what. Okay. I didn't really plan on saying all that. Galatians 6 and 9 says, so let's not get tired in doing what is good. I'm reading to you out of NLT. So let's not get tired in doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. The Bible says, King James, we will reap if we faint not. You don't give up. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength. Now listen to this. Endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confidence, our hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't even care what you've done or where you've been. Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. And he's not willing that you be lost for any reason. Dear brothers and sisters, James 1, 2, and 4. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Are you understanding what he's saying? When you are tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now let me read that to you again, because I really want you to get it. For you know that when your faith is tested, you know when you're having those hard times, you think you're not going to overcome, you can't make it. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Romans 2 and 7, he will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good. seeking after the glory and the honor and the immortality that God offers them. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us. He's wanting us to run this race with faithfulness. He's wanting us to endure. He's wanting us to keep on. And I'm going to talk about perseverance if I can get myself together here and not be screaming into you. What is perseverance? What is it literally? It is it's persistence despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Doesn't matter that you're successful, press on. You know, a lot of us think that our lives is supposed to be successful, or, I mean, people commit suicide because they're not successful enough. I mean, I'm telling you, it is the spirit of the age. It's crazy. Listen, we must recognize, I got 4 points real quick that I want to make, and I'll let you go home. Number one is recognize everything from God's hand is sovereign. Listen, I do not care. I don't care if it's good or bad. This is the day the Lord made, and I will rejoice and be glad regardless of what happens. We need to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Is it hard? Absolutely. It is hard. Let me read this. Psalms 71, 16, I believe it is. My pen kind of went out there. I will proclaim your mighty acts, O Lord, sovereign God. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. It's his alone. NLT, Revelation 4:11. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture in the Old Testament and a scripture in the New, because I know that we live in a time where people say, well, you don't need the Old Testament. Listen, you need it all. From Genesis to Revelation, you need it all. The Bible says the Old Testament teaches us. We have it to be a teacher. You'll find that in Corinthians. So the New Testament is Revelations 4:11. You are worthy, our Lord, our God, to receive glory, honor, and power. And that verse goes on. Put your hope in the Lord is number two. This is how you're able to persevere. I felt like as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, tell them they can win. They're going to win. Not because of us, not because of preachers, but because of Jesus. And when you stand before the Lord, that's why you lay your crown at his feet, because you realize it was him and not you at all. People say, I tell you, when you and Brother Jared and Kate sing, it makes my hair stand up. We don't make your hair stand up. It's the Holy Ghost that makes your hair stand up. All we can do is do our job, what God's called us to do. But the Lord has to do the bidding, Mark. Number two, put your hope in the Lord always. Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will renew. You know, nothing has ever bothered me more than, and I know people get down and people get depressed. I know. But that says he will renew your strength and you will mount up on wings as eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint. Listen, I've been doing this for 40 years. And I maybe not necessarily preaching, but leading worship. That's a long time. I know I still look 16. Serving the Lord that long and doing, working, serving him has not always been an easy thing. But I can tell you, he renews our strength. He is a renewing God. He's a restoring God. And no matter what you need, I can promise you, he's ready for it. No matter what you ask him for, he's ready for it. When Jim passed away, I thought, Lord, you want me to do this alone? Well, I guess he did. He's sovereign. He's in control. No matter what, he's got the best decision. He makes the best decisions in our lives as he leads us. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So don't give me that junk of I can't pastor, I can't lead worship, I can't. You're fainting. You're fainting. And you need to seek the Lord. Now listen, I know those things are hard. Jesus said, drink my blood and eat my flesh. And the Bible was very clear. It said many of them left him. You either want to follow the truth or you don't. That's the bottom line. He asked Peter, said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, oh no, Lord, not me. You have the words to eternal life, not me. Romans 15:3, may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I'm going to tell you, when hard times come, you need to look to the author and finisher of your faith, because I'm telling you, in him is hope. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. You see, that's where we're lacking today. On Wednesday night, we've been talking about prayer, and we've got a handful of people interested enough to come and learn about it. But I'm telling you, prayer is the key to heaven. It's the key to everything. There used to be an old song, prayer's the key to heaven and faith unlocks the door. Do you remember that song, Brother Roger, years ago? Prayer's the key to heaven and faith unlocks the door. And that's the key. Prayer is the key to everything, if we could just realize it. Number three, look to God for all your answers. It is his divine knowledge. Scripture, Ephesians 1:18 and 19 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Think about it. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power. Think about it. And for us who believe. The Old Testament is Proverbs 2 and 6. We graciously choose to reveal himself. He graciously chooses. Help me, Lord. He graciously chooses to reveal himself to humanity in many ways. God reveals himself in Proverbs, and I didn't have time to read all these, so let me give them to you because I know a couple of you are writing this down. God reveals himself in Proverbs 1:7, Isaiah 33 and 6, through Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, in Romans, it is through the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:14. John 14:26 says he reveals himself through his Son, who is his perfect image, Colossians 1 and 15. Number four, and I'm going to let you go home. I tried to make this quick. Trust in the Lord no matter how long it takes. Amen. No matter how long. People say, well, I've been praying about that for 15 years. Pray for it 15 more. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Our understanding is trivial compared to God's. It's juvenile. We're so far below him. We don't have his mind. We don't know things like he knows. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Give him glory. And he shall direct your path. The Old Testament also, Proverbs 9:10, and those who know your name, Lord, put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. The more I seek you, the more I find you. Why don't people know the Lord? They're not seeking him. People say, I want to know Jesus. Then you better study scripture, because he is the literal spoken word of God. Literally. You can't know him without reading the Bible. I mean, more than reading. You need to read and cross-reference and cross-reference and just like I think it was your pastor said, you need a Strong's Concordance. I think everybody ought to have one. The New Testament, Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? I preached a women's conference one time, and the caption of the women's conference was, have you ever seen a bird with a nervous breakdown? No matter what happens in our life, we get upset. We have a nervous breakdown. You see that bird sitting up there who does nothing. He doesn't gather into barns like we do. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I think you ought to have a barn. If you've got a barn with hay and corn, I've got two horses. Bring it on over if you're done with it. What I'm telling you is that we don't have to worry about, as you read that, the rest of that scripture, what we wear, what to eat. I mean, my gosh, look at me. I've been this thin for years. Come on. He supplies all of our needs. But not us. We're worried, you know. We want our portfolio to be real successful, and we want to make a lot of money and invest it. It's a shame when our focus ought to be on the Lord. We spend too much time on nonsense. I'm telling you, we spend way too much time on nonsense. And we can't hear the preacher because we sat in our pew. Now listen, I'm just off the subject, I know. And we nod, yeah, that's right. But then we go right out of here and get in our car, and there's been no change in our life. We keep right on living the way that we always have, and we wonder, am I going to make it to heaven? I don't know. Now listen, I know that's being mean. I don't know. Because our minds are so divided and focused on other things other than God. I tell you, I can't believe that the Lord hasn't already came. Amen. The New Testament, John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, do we believe it or not? Amen. I will come and receive you unto myself, for where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you, but I want to go. I want to go. I've been waiting on that a long time, Mark. I want to go. I just want to be ready when he comes. I don't want to get that ugly cry on. I'm sorry. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. We're waiting in patience. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Philippians 4:11. I've learned to be content in all things. The Apostle Paul said, I've had nothing and I've had a lot. When my kids was little, I remember one time was so bad. Now, Jim Bob will kill me for telling this probably. Because, you know, he don't want people to know that we've ever been destitute and poor. But we have. We lived in a house one time where the snow come in the corner of the bathroom. And we went to the bathroom that morning, and there was like this much snow standing in the bathroom. We didn't even know the wall was cracked open. But there was a time where we ate macaroni and butter, because that's all we had, for like a week or two till Jim got paid again. But now if you come to my house, I live in a big, fancy, beautiful house. The Lord has blessed me through the years. I got a sign that says, you know, this is what I prayed for all these years. I can tell you this, I love the Lord, and if that thing burnt tomorrow, I'd go right back to living like I did before. I could care less about this junk that is so important to people. Mark and I was talking about Christmas and about how the, you know, mothers want things to be just right. And that's how it is. That's why he gave us mothers. I'm one of those mothers that don't really care. You don't even have to wrap it. Just pitch it under the tree. I'm not sure we're understanding how important it is to know Jesus and really know him. Listen, church, I was a drunk. I mean, that's all I wanted to do was go party. And I remember one time, Jim, sober as a judge. Now, Jim was a drinker too, don't get me wrong. But I remember one time I had been out with actually his two brothers. And we were all pretty lit up. And he said, I'm not going to keep living like this with you. He said, we've got two kids. And I'm not going to keep living like this. He said, you are their mother. Now listen, I know that we're not supposed to talk about things like that. But I'm telling you, each and every one of you have got a story similar to that. But you see, we don't want to talk about it. But it may raise somebody else up out of their... I said, of course I was drinking. So what are you going to do about it? He said, well, you know, we'll see. Jim wasn't a man of many words. Shortly after that, because of the Lord. I'm telling you, Greg, it was because of the Lord I'd come to know the Lord. Let me tell you, I'm the toughest person that you'll ever meet in your life. I attend funerals and don't cry because I think the crying place ought to be at home with you and the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's something about the Spirit of the Lord that tears me up around every time. And if you, David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm telling you, if you don't know the Lord, if you just come and taste. And if you don't like him, quit serving him. But I can tell you this. Once you taste the Lord, you're never going to be the same. You're never going to be the same. Jim Bob said one time, he's about 14, maybe 15. He said, you have ruined me. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, going to church, going to church, going to church. He said, I can't even cuss right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be thankful that your kids can't cuss right. I knew what he's talking about. Okay, I know, I've got you on overtime, don't I? Faithfulness is never wasted. I'm just throwing that out there to you. Faithfulness is never wasted. Romans 8, 18 and 19. I'm going to end with this. Okay, first let me tell you people who persevered, because I made a note of it, of a few. Joseph the dreamer, he was beloved by his father. Jacob, hated by his brothers. Moses, reluctant leader. Moses couldn't even talk plain. He said, Lord, why have you called me? I can't even talk plain. Ruth, loyal woman. Where's Ruth? I always call Kate Ruth. I was looking for her. Oh, there she is. Ruth, loyal woman. David, of course, you know David had many giants. Not just one. There was many giants in his life. Jeremiah the prophet. Job was a good man. He said, though he slay me, go ahead and kill me, Lord, because I'm going to serve you anyway. His wife said, you ought to just curse God and die. Thank God he didn't listen to her. Peter, the apostle Paul, and Jesus persevered through it all. Romans 8, 18 and 19. Jared, you can come. I'm just going to read this and we'll pray if you want to. I've kind of gotten to the place in my older years where I don't think you ought to beg people to come and pray. They ought to have a desire to pray. And if you don't have that desire, then let me be mean to you. If you don't have the desire to pray, you probably need to know the Lord. Because there's something in you when you know Him that makes you want to come to God's house and makes you want to pray because you know He has all the answers. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us in heaven. We cannot imagine. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth every battle. It's going to be worth every fight. You know, sometimes people just need deliverance. You know, you smoke, come up here and get anointed with oil, get deliverance. Do you drink? Come up here and get anointed with oil. That's what this altar is for. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that He will reveal to us later. We can't imagine. We can't imagine. Let's stand. It's going to be worth it. The Spencers used to sing a song, "It'll be worth it after." That's it. It'll be worth it after all. Every fight that you've had, every battle that's happened in your life, every downsetting, every stupid thing you've ever done, do you know that God knew your stupidity and He saved you anyway? Think about that. There's a song that says, "There will be mountains that I will have to climb. There will be battles that I have to fight. Victory or defeat, it's up to me to decide. How can I expect to win if I never try? I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I've started from. Nobody told me it was going to be easy, but I don't believe He brought me this far to leave me." Aren't you thankful for that? If you feel so led to come, I'm telling you, there's nothing in your life that Jesus can't overcome. If you feel led to come, come, and we'll pray for you. Your pastor's here this morning.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless, and have an amazing week.